did Faulkner Browns, who are architects with an international reputation. They are specialists in leisure centres. They've got 160 leisure centres under belt, and have visited one of the leisure centres that they have recently completed, which is the Britannia Centre in Hackney, which is absolutely fabulous. It's a beautiful building and it has amazing facilities. I was there just a few days ago, and it was actually really inspiring talking to people. It was such a democratic kind of facility. I talked to, you know, a woman who told me she was an actress, and she said, normally I charge for any sound bites. And she said, it's really amazing, I love it. And then I talked to somebody who'd just come in from the council estate across the road, who said, it's absolutely the business and it's brilliant. And that was the kind of enthusiasm and pride that I encountered with everybody I spoke to, including the woman who managed it. So this, you know, it was architecturally actually a beautiful building, and it was also packed of full of fantastic state-of-the-art facilities. So a building really to be proud of. And we chose them because we think they can deliver something as good for Kingston.
And will residents get to have a say in how it's built?
Already, we've had two engagement exercises. We've spoken to more than 4,000 people, and we've asked them, what do you want in this facility? We've asked them what they think of the mixture of options that we're already thinking about delivering. And we changed our plans in response to what they've said. I mean, if you go onto the Transform Kingston website, it outlines all of that. So people said that they really wanted to make sure that there was lots of family fun available. So we've added a toddler pool, as well as the two full-length pools, the training pool and the competition summer pool. We're also going to have a soft play area for families with small children, clip and climb for older children. So we've really tried to adapt our plans to what people are telling us they'd like. And there will be one further engagement, so there's another opportunity for residents to feedback.
Now, there's a couple of issues which I know you'll be aware of. The first one is, you say you spoke to 4,000 people, which for Kingston's population doesn't actually seem like a lot of people. And 3,000 people, or almost 3,000 people, which is almost as many as you've spoken to, have signed this petition that they don't want the Kingfisher demolished. They would rather it be rebuilt. And looking at the costings, when the Kingfisher was closed in 2019 because of the roof issues, would it not make more sense to rebuild the current site? What can you tell the listener why you're not rebuilding the current site and why you're putting more money into building a different leisure centre?
We looked at the options really carefully. When we got the full costings, we got, you know, it took us a while because of COVID to actually get experts in to survey the extent of the damage and the difficulty with that building. But when we did that, we were told it was going to cost at least £5 million to fix it. Now, I know people are very fond of the old Kingfisher, but back in 2016, when the Conservatives were in administration, they were told the building was coming to the end of life. So this was a building that really didn't have a lot of life left in it. By 2020, the experts told us that it would take at least a year to fix it and couldn't really guarantee longevity. So we felt that we would be spending a huge amount of council taxpayers' money with no guarantee of how long that money would actually deliver a pool. So we looked then at the options of actually investing in the future and building a state-of-the-art facility that will give residents of Kingston a fantastic opportunity to enjoy sports facilities as well as walls over the next 40, 50 years. At some stage, we're going to have to make that investment, and we thought this was the moment to bite the bullet. And I'm sure you'll have seen the report that Swim England produced just last week, where they said the country is full of these buildings that are aging and that need to be replaced. And we think Kingston's just ahead of the game in that we have grasped the nettle. We've understood that this is now the moment we have to do this. So fixing the old pool, it was, I think, in the end, a false economy, because you would have fixed a pool, spent £5 million, but really not given residents, first of all, up-to-date facilities, but you also wouldn't have given council taxpayers any guarantee that their money was well spent. And I'd just say one thing. When you said 4,000 people is not a lot to take part in an engagement, I really disagree with you, Lucy. 4,000 people is a tremendous result, because those are people who are coming to our website and who are telling us what they think. It's a real sign of public engagement, and we really want to listen to it.
But in terms of the 4,000 people, I mean, I've spoken to people who knew nothing about it because they don't have access to the internet. For the older generation who aren't as well hooked up, they don't use social media, they don't have the website. It's the people who don't have access to those means who feel completely like they're out of the conversation altogether. So how do they get their say?
Well, we have been out in all our town centres, in all our streets, out and about talking to people and asking them for their views. And, you know, Lucy, invite us on to Radio Jackie, and we can invite people.
You're on
to,
Radio
to,
Jackie.
To
you are on Radio Jackie. You know, I understand from your point of view, you know, the local papers are practically non-existent, and local radio, you are on, you're there. We talk about this a lot. We get a lot of feedback. Obviously, you're doing the engagements online, but I also speak to a lot of people who do feel they just know nothing about it. And it's the same with development as well. They don't feel they don't know, and they feel they are excluded.
We have done a lot of leafleting. We have done a lot of leafleting, and we are continuing to do leafleting. And we will have, for instance, the residents' newsletter coming out in November, which will again be inviting people to take part in the consultation. But since people who may not have access to the internet could be listening to us now, it's a fantastic opportunity, really, to tell them what we're doing. And this, the plans that we have are for two 25 metre pools, one that will be a competition length, one that will be a training pool. We'll have a multi-court sports hall, so there'll be facilities for basketball, for badminton, for netball. There'll be squash courts, there'll be a modern gym, there'll be dance and fitness studios, click and climb, and facilities for five-a-side football. That's what we hope this leisure centre will include, and that's what residents are telling us they'd like it to include. I'm trying to make sure that it's so kind to the planet. We're very aware, you know, as COP26 approaches, I think we're all aware of the need to take our green credentials seriously. We're going to be using solar panels, we're getting natural ventilation. We want to power the whole centre with renewable heat generated from the hogs mill. So it's part of a big package and a big vision for Kingston, but we really want people to know about it.
Sport England is another group that actually has come out and said they are worried about the closure of the Kingfisher, because at the same time, obviously, New Malden is going to be closed for Cox Crescent. They've made their concerns. Now, I've also spoken to people who say they're going to have nowhere to take their children swimming while these centres are closed. What can those residents do?
Well, first of all, Sport England. There have been some gremlins in our communications with Sport England, because RBK officers, council officers, were in touch earlier in the summer, show them the plans for the new leisure centre, and they did share the plans for the demolition of the old leisure centre. But for some reason that I really don't understand, the chief executive of Sport England wasn't aware of that. So we're trying to fix that, and our chief executive is now going to meet their chief executive to make sure that they're totally abreast doing, because we want to have real relations with Sport England. So I think that's, you know, a bit of a...
What do you think went wrong there? Because obviously everyone has jumped on it, saying Sport England is objecting to it. And obviously you've just said you spoke with them, but maybe it didn't reach all the way to the top. So what do you think, where do you think communications broke down?
To be honest, Lucy, I'm trying to find that out. But it obviously there was a breakdown in communications, and we've got to fix that. But I doubt that... I don't think it's that the council had never informed Sport England, but that's something that we can sort out with them.
If they come back still and there's still an objection to it, will that change your mind on planning and applications and deadline?
No, it won't. It won't. The reason that we've gone ahead with the permission to demolish in advance is that we just want to speed up the period where people don't have a pool in Kingston. We want to minimise that period where people are struggling to find swimming in the town centre. And the reason for demolishing now is because we know that sometimes when you do demolish a building, you come across archaeological finds, or you come across problems like slow worms. We've had that on other sites, or some sort of contamination on the site. And all of those things can slow things down, and we don't want to slow it down. We want to get on with building as soon as we've got planning permission through. We want to be ready to go. We don't want any further delays. So that's the reason. It's just to expedite the process that we are going ahead with demolition now. But you also asked a question about where can people swim. Cox Crescent, there is obviously a plan for Cox Crescent too, but we will not close the Maldon Centre until the Kingfisher is opened. There will not be a period where the borough doesn't have a swimming pool. And right now, I know it's difficult for parents who want to get swimming lessons. I understand that for the early years, there are vacancies still. I think it's harder for the older children, but it is worth calling the Maldon Centre and getting on their waiting list. And obviously there are pools in Richmond and in Elmbridge and in Merton. So there are pools in neighbouring boroughs, but it's not, you know, it wouldn't be my choice that there would ever be a period when Kingston would be without a swimming pool. But the problems with its roof meant that the Kingfisher had to close because it just wasn't safe. And, you know, as we have already discussed, trying to fix the old building was not a long-term solution. It was a lot of money for a very short-term solution. And we went instead for the investment in public health and the investment in our residents that will last for many decades to come.
And I completely understand that. And just going back to that, because you say £5 million is too expensive to fix the roof, but how much is the new build going to cost and where will that come from?
So the indicative figure is £40 million, and that is a very large sum of money. I'm very aware that that's a huge amount
of money. That's bigger than £5 million.
Well, of course it is, because, you know, fixing an old 1980s pool is you would expect, would be cheaper than building a 21st century pool with state-of-the-art facilities. So I think that's not a surprise. We know that we have financial headroom to borrow the money, but we are also putting it in our capital programme, and we're looking right across the board at all our assets. The Borough of Kingston has 750 assets, and not all of them are any longer fit for purpose or in use. And it's time to rationalise those. So there will be disposals of some assets which will also go into the capital programme and will help to reduce the reliance on borrowing.
Because of all of this, the council has lost John Tolley as a Lib Dem councillor. It's in his ward. He was very against the plans. He is going to be a loss to the council. He's levelled some big accusations at the way that the process has been managed, and he resigned on account of that. So obviously it's only fair that you have your right of reply, but obviously he feels there's something really endemically wrong with the way that it's been done.
Well, I was very sorry that John Tolley made the decision that he did, and I would obviously have much preferred that he had stayed within our group. But John, I think, has to accept that the decisions that are made by the Liberal Democrat group are made democratically. The way our system works is that I don't, as leader, make decisions about do we replace the kitchen or do we fix the roof. Those are decisions that are made by the entire group of Liberal Democrat councillors. And we discussed it very openly. And John Tolley was very adamant that he wanted the roof fixed. He did not see the long-term perspective that some of the rest of us saw. And he was keen that we should fix the roof and stick with the old building. Now, he lost that argument in group, and overwhelmingly people voted to go for the long-term investment, even though they knew that was the harder course. You know, it was easier just to fix the roof. It would not have been controversial. This was the braver, bolder thing, but this was, we felt, much better of the town centre and much better for residents in terms of public health and social value, so that all our residents, rich or poor, have access to the very best facilities, that you don't need to be able to afford a private health club to have the best leisure facilities in Kingston. So that was the decision of the whole group, and that was a decision that John disagreed with. And, you know, that was a decision that was made a very long time ago, and he eventually decided he couldn't live with it. He is sitting as an independent Liberal Democrat. Of course it's a loss. It's always a loss if you lose a member of your group, and it's always very sad. You know, we all are elected together, we're part of a team, and yes, it's really sad when you lose somebody, so of course it's a loss.
Kevin Davis, the former leader of the council, has been very vocal about it as well. The building in Kingston, can you confirm, or deny, will that be coming with a tower block on top? Because I think what people, they're very much looking forward to a new leisure centre and that, but I think it's the overdevelopment scale and the scale of what another tower block would bring.
I know, and it's a shame that people are playing politics with this, but I can give you an absolute assurance that the leisure centre itself will not come as part of a tower block. The leisure centre will be a building in its own right, and it will sit next to and complement the beautiful Carnegie buildings, the museum and the library that sit on that site. And in a way that the old Kingfisher never really interconnected with them, this new building will. It will be part of a holistic development that I think will really bring the Fairfield and that whole site to life. So that's the first thing. But there will be development. We have always been clear that the cattle market, which sits just behind the Kingfisher, is a site, it's a brownfield site, which will be used for housing. And you will know
is this tap, because obviously we need more houses, and we don't disagree with that, but what we seem to be getting in Kingston is a lot of one bedroom blocks of flats. So will this be a move to create housing, or will this be another tower block?
Well, I would love that we could just build three bedroom semis to fulfil our housing targets. But you and I both know that if you have to build 10,000 homes in a decade, and that's a legally binding target imposed on us externally from the Mayor of London, then we don't have the space in our borough to put that number of homes, you know, to build them in that way.
But you're not creating family homes in the nicest possible way. I know families are having to move out of Kingston because they can't take that next step. There's people living in one-bedroom flats, and
exactly,
they want to
exactly.
move into a house, so they have to move out.
Yeah, but that's exactly why we want to build. Well, we have to. We have to produce new homes. We know that we need affordable homes. We need family homes. And that's what we can do on the cattle market. You know, I can't pretend to you that they're going to be three-bedroom semis. They're not. They are going to be flats, but they're not going to be ridiculously high. And they're going to be, but they are going to be affordable. And we're going to try and make them as green as possible, because we also hope that they can be heated by the renewable heat generated from the Hogsmill River, which will make them among the greenest homes in the country.
I mean, New Malden alone, we're getting seven tower blocks and there's no family homes. And I do feel for the families who are feeling a bit pushed out.
Family, I mean, honestly, if I could just give permission for family homes of the kind that probably you and I live in, nothing would give me greater pleasure. That would be fantastic. But we know that that's not possible. We just don't have the space for it. You know, a third of the borough is green belt or metropolitan open land. We can't. Obviously, we don't want to build on it, and we can't build on it. But what's left does not leave you the space to build the kinds of homes that, in a previous generation, in the 1930s, for instance, people built, because there was a lot of open space then. There just isn't now. If we're going to find homes for people, we do have to put up flats. I don't like high rise. I don't want them to be more than. I mean, I think on the cattle market, I would say I'd like it to be topped at 9 stories. I think if it went to 12, it'd probably be acceptable. I don't really want it to go any higher than that. That's what my intention would be. That's not. But we're at very early stages with the cattle market plans. We're not at a stage to know those things, but that's what I would aim for. But, you know, it's a situation where I think, I know people don't want what Sadiq is forcing on us. I don't want it either.